Well, there's a burgeoning relationship and partnership between Michigan State University's College of Human Medicine and the University of Buffalo's Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences, and it's led by the two deans. And what they're working on is more of an approach to advocate for a more public health focused answer and approach to the gun violence in the country. So we invited the two deans on to talk about that today. And let me first welcome back to the show Dr. and Dean Aaron Sousa from MSU's College of Human Medicine. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Russ. Always good to be with you.
And Allison Brashear, Dean and Vice President for Health Sciences. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for including me.
Maybe, Aaron, why don't you start? How did this relationship start? There was kind of an interesting beginning, as I understand it, when you were at another conference. Tell us how you two got together.
It's true. Allison and I have known each other for years. We went to Dean Charm School together and had conversations each time we meet and things like that. But the deans of the medical schools have a national meeting every March, and in March of 23, just a month after our tragic shooting on campus, we had some sessions about gun violence, and Allison and I got talking and talking about what had happened at MSU, and she reminded me that Buffalo had its own tragic shooting a year before at the Tops supermarket, where a white supremacist shot 10 African Americans. And the community had its own set of different traumas. And we agreed to do a student and faculty exchange to just kind of work together. And so we had a group of four or five students and a faculty member go to Buffalo around the time of the 1 year remembrance of the Tops shooting. And Allison's folks and the community just did a great job. And I think Allison can talk a little bit about that and then where it went from there.
I think the unique part about the partnership it is really with the medical students. So as Aaron said, Michigan State had medical students with a faculty member come to Buffalo, and those students and faculty members participated in some of our events. We had a guest speaker. They participated. They had multiple sharing sessions with our medical students. And our medical students actually went through a variety of different experiences, either because they live in the community and because they have friends and family in the community, or they grew up there, and our medical school is just down the street from the site of the terrible tragedy. So I think that really drove it. So this was really a grassroots phenomenon between medical students and driven by, Aaron and I's conversation, but we wanted to figure out how we could bring education about gun violence to the students and weave that into their learning and their experience because as physicians, we encountered this sadly way all too often.
One of the real phenomena is that how much the students have thought about this and how active they are. So we had students who had helped us with our curriculum around how to talk to people about guns in their house and whether their guns are safe. So I think probably most people realize that a majority of suicides happen by a gun. But it bears stating over and over again, and this sort of astonishing and tragic statistic that the number one killer of children in this country are guns. And often those are guns in the home. This is about, a public health approach is trying to think about what can we do to help keep people safe. So it used to be that cars were the number one killer of kids. We didn't take cars off the road. We made the world safer for kids and cars. And, we have to figure out how a public health approach to gun violence is how do we make the world safer for kids and all of us, when we think about all the ways that guns contribute to violence in this country.
Absolutely, Aaron. And one of the ways I think we can do that as a medical school is actually begin to train students on how to have those conversations. Do you have a gun at home? If so, is it locked? I remember as a parent of young children, asking someone, "Do you have a gun?" and not letting my young child go and play at the person's house because they had a gun. And then the next person I asked, they said, "Yes, we do, but it's locked." Okay, I felt better, but I think really training our medical students and then how to deal with, patients who've had a tragedy of surrounding gun violence. You know, those all too often we have patients who have had either someone killed or are harmed by a gun event. And how do you take care of that patient? And then how do you have a broader role in advocacy about gun safety and the importance of gun safety and making sure that is a national conversation?
And I think you both started to address it, but when you say a public health focus, what do you mean?
There are a group of things that institutions and as a society we can do to try to help people be safe when there are guns around. And it's not that different than smoking cessation or car safety or diet things. One of the great things that hospitals and health systems do is make sure that gun locks are available to people, especially if they have kids or they have people in the home who are at risk of suicide, right? There are particular times in people's lives when there's a greater risk, or when there's, our students have advocated on behalf of policies that essentially allow the police to secure guns when somebody has been violent in the home or is, you know, things like that. So there are a group of policies that, you know, can help keep people safe, even just straight up counseling with people to make sure that their gun is locked up when they have young kids at home makes a difference. Each one of those interventions is like a public health intervention to try to help keep people safe.
So then you kept the conversation going this time in East Lansing back in February. We had the Remembrance Conference. Tell us about why the focus on remembrance and some other key things that you think came out of that discussion.
Yeah, so the experience that our students had in Buffalo was so striking and powerful for them that being with people who were remembering the folks that they lost, it sort of struck us that was that powerful emotional experience was an impetus toward action and to help direct people to think about what needs to happen. And basically, Allison and I realized that we could broaden this beyond our two schools. So there are about 10 schools who sent faculty and students to East Lansing around actually the actual weekend of February 13th. And we had some remarkable speakers. There were 7 or 8 members of the Michigan legislature who came in to talk to students, not so much about gun safety as how to be an advocate and how to talk to a legislator and how to make publics, you know, write op-eds and things like that. So we had it was a remarkable and wonderful conference that came out of those conversations and that initial trade. And next year, it's going to be in Buffalo.
Right. It's going to be in Buffalo, May 16th through 18th. And we hope it to broaden to have a broader expansion of medical schools. We think we can actually use the fact that we're educating doctors and the next generation of physicians to really have a unique niche on how to draw attention to the need to advocate and educate around gun violence. And I think, you know, that it is clear that doctors and other health providers are really impacted by this and saddened and energized about the need to change the conversation to this being a public health issue. It is, you know, sadly, as Aaron said, we have way too many people who pass away from gun violence, and suicide is a big issue that we are trying to figure out how to weave into the next iteration of the conference. So this one in May of 2025 will be the third partnership between UB and the Michigan State.
We'll talk more about how others can get involved. The schools are growing. How can more people get engaged and just be more aware of this public health approach?
You know, maybe the most important thing that people can do is just take care of each other, right? To think about what the risks are at home and what the risks are in their workplace and who's doing well and who's not. And then for each individual problem, right, there are different sets of solutions. So around suicide, it's actually just as things as simple as asking people, you know, how they're doing when they say something that seems a little off, right? And And there's so many interventions that are fascinating. So Jennifer Johnson and Brian Amendani have a project where they look at people who have been touched by the criminal legal system and trying to figure out how you can prevent suicides in those populations. We have people like Elise Lai and Frank Straub who do the Protect to Preserve program where they're trying to intervene in to stop shootings in schools. There are so many different kinds of programs, and each of those can dovetail and really interlace with the kinds of work that students and faculty do to address gun violence through public health.
I think it's really important for those of us in senior leadership to realize the energy that can be around students and student advocacy and student education. They're the next generation of physicians. And they're the ones who have grown up in, sadly, this environment. And they're the ones who have new and novel ideas of how to broaden the conversation. I think that's one of the beauties of this initiative, that it's very much student-led but faculty-supported. And so that, I think, gives a new lens on how to be creative about having these conversations. I also think that we need to really think a little bit more about suicide as we are dealing with a avalanche of issues about provider well-being, student well-being, student mental health. Aaron and I recently presented to the Council of Deans again about this initiative. And I think if we can also weave in well-being in this, because if we can do something about the tide that we have of these sadly recurring large issues with gun violence, I think we can also improve student and provider well-being too.
Oh, one of the things about this partnership has been that it's involved the American Association of Medical Colleges, and it, which is 150 some odd medical schools across the country. And they're, you know, very much interested in like in how we develop leaders among students and faculty. People like Allison and I can talk till we're blue in the face, but if we don't have students and faculty actually, you know, creating programs and running programs, we don't really make a difference. So our work really is to help find ways for students and faculty to take action and to be useful. As an example, one of our students, Jasmine Carr, had started a group on our campus called SAFE, which is Scrubs Addressing the Firearm Epidemic. It's a group of students across the country. They work on curriculum. So Jasmine had helped our curriculum around talking to patients and families about guns. But on the night of the 13th, of February 13th, she contacted our senior associate dean to sort of ask, well, how are you thinking about contacting people? And sort of talked to us. She had been through this before, right? She had experience that at an institutional level that some of us didn't have, and really changed the way we thought about what we were going to do that night. We made sure that we contacted every student in East Lansing before the night was out, even if it was 2 a.m, to see how mm-hmm. they were, where they were. We made sure we contacted all of our students across the system within 48 hours, all of our faculty and staff. There was just a real sort of depth of understanding and knowledge that Jasmine and other students have because of what they've grown up in. It was just remarkable what students can bring to this kind of conversation. And of course, they're the ones that we send off into the world to make the world a better place. That's why we're universities like Michigan State University and University of Buffalo.
We had several sharing episodes after the May 14th tragedy here, where students shared similar things that were afraid to go to the grocery store, afraid to go out, the whole idea of being targeted. And there was lots of important sharing and learning, particularly learning, I think, for the faculty, because students, like Aaron said, had grown up in this, had faced this, and sometimes, sadly, it wasn't their first exposure to gun violence. And so I do think it's part of a broader conversation about how schools of medicine can really enter these important conversations and bring a different view and lens, because we interface with patients and families all the time.
You know, the remembrance part of the conference was particularly powerful. We did luminaries where we put names of people on them, and then we had a sort of a ceremony, and Pastor Pointer from Buffalo sort of led us in through some thoughts, and by these luminaries, the pictures are magical. The moment was even more powerful, and you know, I wrote the names of friends from high school who had died from guns, and a student that we had lost to suicide in the college about a decade ago to a gun. And, you know, people had all kinds of experiences that were up there. Our remembrance conference comes out of an event where it was students who were targeted. And I think that being targeted has a whole piece to this that we don't necessarily all understand or think about. The Buffalo conference is going to be very different, right? Because this was a racist killing. There was a particular community that was African Americans who were targeted. It comes with a very different group a very different environment and experiences and community engagement that wasn't the same for the shooting here. The remembrance piece of that, I think, really does create an important new, you know, approach to how we think about some of these events and the programming that Allison and her people are going to put together for that conference.
Well, Doctors Sousa and Brashear, really appreciate you leading this important initiative and telling us about it today. Just leave us some final thoughts. What would you like us to remember about this public health approach to gun violence and this cool growing partnership?
I'm incredibly grateful for Aaron for his partnership, and we think that Michigan State and the Jacobs School of Medicine at UB have lots of opportunities to continue carrying this message. I think there's many, many more opportunities to come.
Yeah, I want to absolutely echo. Allison and her team have just been great to work with. It's been a delightful partnership. And you know, if there's one thing that I want people to remember is that, first of all, we've all lost a lot of people, yep. Right? And if we forget that or we somehow don't hold that, then we miss an opportunity to make a difference. And that making a difference can be as simple as just locking up a gun. It doesn't have to be complicated.
That's Dr. Aaron Sousa, Dean of Michigan State University's College of Human Medicine, and Dr. Allison Brashear, Dean and Vice President for Health Sciences at the Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences at the University of Buffalo. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.